gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. We were doing it right. We were coming alive. Yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. And auburn hair, sitting looking pretty by the fire in a lawn chair. New to town and new to me, her ruby red lips was sipping on sweet tea. Shot me a little like a shooting star, so I grabbed a beer and my old guitar. Then we sat around till the break of dawn, howling and singing our favorite song. Whoa, never gonna grow up. Whoa, never gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. Whoa, we were doing it right. Whoa, we were coming alive. Whoa, yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Whoa, oh, never gonna grow up. Never gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. Whoa, we were doing it right. In a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. A 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 barefoot blue jean night.
Here for you. MyEasternOregon.com.
Harney County Radio is 92.7 KZHC.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-649-8617. 800-649-8617. 800-649-8617. That's 800-649-8617.
Who knew that The Barn had name brand clothing and for less than name brand price? Shop local at The Barn at 430 North Broadway in Burns. We've got you covered with everything for your gift-giving needs. From men's, women's, kids, and infant clothing and shoes, toys, different levels of learning activities, drink tumblers, jewelry, and we can't forget about our Pendleton Woolen Mill products, starting at just $12.99. Shop local and save at The Barn, 430 North Broadway in Burns.
No need to buy a hunting tag for these hits.
Duck season. Duck season. Duck season.
Our country is always in season. 92.7 KZHC.
Tonka trucks and G.I. Joes, jumping those hills with Luke and Bo, plastic cap guns and a swimming hole, don't get no dirt on your church clothes. Win or lose, we cheer for the Braves, 10% in the offering place, Sunday chicken and a NASCAR race, sure be nice to get back to that place. There was dirt on Daddy's clothes, putting that bacon on mama's stove, dog barking in the yard at a truck we don't know. All we had was us, had a little bitty house and a lot of love. We had it all when we didn't have much. 18 left it all behind, chasing a girl, chasing a dime. Went so far trying to get mine, I can't see that old porch light that led me home at night. There was dirt on Daddy's
clothes. And putting that bacon on mama's stove, dog barking in the yard at a truck we don't know. All we had was us. And had a little bitty house and a lot of love. We had it all when we didn't have much. When we didn't have much. I can still hear Grandma reading at a red letter book of John. I can still smell coffee in the kitchen. Old Don Williams on. And there was dirt on Daddy's clothes. From putting that bacon on Mama's stove, dog barking in the yard and a truck we don't know. All we had was us. And had a little bitty house and a lot of love. We had it all when we didn't have much. Had it all when we didn't have much. Little bitty house and a lot of love.
Along and I know every song.
The only station that plays my country.
KZHC is Harney County Radio.
Jenny grew up wild like a Blackfoot daisy, out in the shack with a blue tick hound. Broke as hell, but blessed with beauty, the kind that a rich man can't turn down. She caught the eye of an oil man dancing one summer night in a dime store dress. She had the looks, he had the mansion, and you can figure out the rest. It was all roses, tripping in diamonds, sipping on champagne. But she was all uptown, wearing that white gown, taking his last name. She could hear those church bells ringing, ringing. And up in the loft, that whole choir singing, singing. Fold your hands and close your eyes. Yeah, it's all gonna be alright. And just listen to the church bells ringing, ringing. Yeah, they're ringing. Country club, everyone thought they were Ken and Barbie, but Ken was always getting way too drunk. Saturday night, after a few too many, he came home ready to fight, and all his money could never save Jenny from the devil living in his eyes. It was all bruises, covered in makeup, dark sunglasses. And that next morning, sitting in the back pew praying with the Baptist, she could hear those church bells ringing, ringing. And up in the loft, that whole choir singing, singing. Fold your hands and close your eyes. Yeah, it's all gonna be alright. You just listen to the church bells ringing, ringing. Ever gonna find, and how he died is still a mystery. But he hit a woman for the very last time. She could hear those church bells ringing, ringing. You're standing there in a black dress, singing, singing. Fold your hands and close your eyes. Yeah, it's all gonna be alright. And just listen to the church bells ringing, ringing. Ringing.
seen some pretty faces, been with some beautiful girls. After all I've witnessed, one thing still amazes me. Just like a miracle, you have to see to believe. Chance. I've been sent to spread the message. God bless Texas. First he lit the sunshine, then he made the waters deep. Then he gave us moonlight. God bless Texas. God bless Texas. I've been sent to spread the message. God bless Texas. I've been sent to spread the message. God bless Texas.
Our local community folks making a difference here in Harney County. Join Mindy Gould in studio right now. It's Harney County Live, right here on 92.7 KZHC.
Good morning and welcome and happy Monday, and thank you for tuning into Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. I'm Mindy Gould, and my guests today are Ron Whiting and Autumn Murr with the Wildlife Resilience Project. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
So go ahead and tell me a little bit about this, the Wildlife Resilience Project.
So it's actually a wildfire resiliency project, and it's the Stinking Waters Mountains Subcommittee, which is, we have a pilot project in the Stinking Water Mountains, and that pilot project falls under the subcommittee, which falls under the Harney County Wildfire Collaborative, which also falls under the High Desert Partnership. So there's layers to our madness here.
And so where is your guys' layer at?
Sure. So we're kind of the working group or the subcommittee that delves into all of the ideas and the goals and processes, and then we bring our recommendations back to the larger Harney County Wildfire Collaborative, and then we kind of vote by consensus on how to proceed.
Okay, and what is the purpose of this?
Well, the purpose is kind of threefold, I guess you'd say, as far as the Stinking Water Mountain. It's has to do with prevention, suppression, and restoration related to wildfire. And this area was devastated by the Buzzard Complex. And as a result of that, there's been an invasion of annual grasses, the worst of which is Medusa Head. And then one of the other problems over a long period of time due to wildfire control is juniper. So we have two main problems that we need to try to deal with to get this area back to an ecosystem that is healthy. And right now it's out of balance because of these factors.
And so how do you guys propose? I mean, what's the plan of trying to get rid of the Medusa Head and the juniper and all that kind of stuff?
So yeah, I guess I want to back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, we had three pretty major fires in 2012 and then the Buzzard Complex in 2014. And that's when this group decided we needed to get together and start putting our heads together and think about what to do. So we're definitely centered on preventing wildfires whenever possible, but then suppressing them when that's appropriate and then restoring the land after a wildfire. So what we look to do, you know, we've had a couple of different projects. We worked on the suppression side with our communications with our local RFPAs and how to kind of, we've got a new liaison between the BLM agency and the RFPAs for training and communication. So that kind of was our first phase. Our second phase then was prevention, which we worked on a project in the Pueblo Mountains mm-hmm. down south. And that was a really successful project where we were able to basically get some fuel breaks and some different fuel mitigation strategies set in to just protect it. Basically, the only thing we wanted to do there is keep it from burning. It is some of our best, most pristine sagebrush sea, I guess. So we just needed to prevent the fire. Now in the Stinking Waters, it has had multiple fires many, many times. And so now we're in the restoration phase. So there's a couple of things. One, we need to reduce the invasive annual grasses and kind of get our native bunch grasses back in. We need to reduce the encroachment of juniper and then start thinking about some fuel breaks and some other things that can kind of help prepare that land to accept fire and not let them be mega fires, just keep them small and contained, and then to kind of try and get it back to its natural eco state. And so there's lots of different ways to do that, and that's kind of the type of things that we're working towards.
And so what are some of the ways to bring back the natural habitat?
Well, after it's gone to a state of annual grasses, then it is a very hard road to get it back to its mm-hmm. natural state. But we really need to try to do that, because if we don't, well, these annual grasses are fine fuels that are very susceptible to burning, and burning at a very hot, fast rate. Mm-hmm. So with that type of environment, we usually go in and try to treat the annuals with a number of herbicides. The most common one is Plateau. There are some other newer ones that are offering promise. And that decreases the population of those plants to where we can seed it with the more desirable perennial bunch grasses and hopefully get them established.
So are the plants that are coming in invasive, like the Medusa Head and stuff like that, are those more flammable and fire-worthy versus the native?
Yeah, so the problem with these invasives are that they have a different kind of life cycle, if you will. They green up earlier and they dry out earlier. So normally you would have, you know, everything senescing or drying out, say, end of June, beginning of July, and that becomes mm-hmm. flammable. These are happening way sooner. Additionally, they create like a carpet of fuel, whereas our perennial bunch grasses have interspaces in between. So they have evolved with fire, but it would be in a more mosaic kind of...
Creates their own little majestic fire breaks.
Yeah, they, it's just more natural instead of just a wall of continuous fuel that this can burn across the landscape and just devastate the whole area.
And another thing about what I consider healthy ecosystems is they are very diverse, whereas the annuals tend to be more of a monoculture.
Mm-hmm. And so with stinking water, I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of acres. So how do you guys go? I mean, you can't go through and, you know, in a couple of years and get 450,000, 500,000. I mean, how do you know where to start? And
so that was one of the reasons why we chose the Stinking Waters. You know, the overall area is a little over 300,000 acres. So, yeah, it's pretty big. And it has a lot of different ownerships. So there's BLM, there's tribal, there's state and private landowners and others. So that is kind of one of the reasons why we chose this, because it is challenging. And so, you know, we can get funding or projects through the agencies. We can get grants to help out the private landowners. The state agencies like ODFW would get their own money and treat. But the point of this is to not treat it in these little postage stamp sections, but to really think of it more as a landscape scale, cross-jurisdictional boundary, and treating the whole landscape, because fire doesn't know the boundaries.
No.
It's not going to stop because it hit, you know, a landowner's fence.
It hit Mr. Smith's
fence.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
So we're really looking at trying to prioritize areas where there's landowners that want to work with us, and that the BLM maybe already has that on their agenda for that year, and we kind of want to capitalize, you know, leverage funding and the momentum and get a larger landscape area treated. And then we'll just move across as we go. I mean, it is definitely a long-term plan, not a short-term fix.
Perfect. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll dive into some more. You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
How is your Christmas shopping going? Looking for something for the men in your life? You might not think a Bolt Petroleum plant would have great gifts, but you might not know we have some stocking stuffer ideas as well. Come on down to 429 Crane Boulevard and see if that guy in your life would like a case of Power Service Diesel Clean or Clear Diesel Supplement, Window Wash, Lucas Hot Rod Oil for that muscle car, 2.5 or 5-gallon Tough Jugs, or maybe one of each. How about a Lincoln Power Luber, Automatic Grease Gun, Octane Boost, or a LEB Substitute? Shopping local supports our communities. It's Snobbinson's, 573-2622. Energy, Community Service.
Steel, tools built for real people, and dealers who deliver real service. Hi, this is Robert at your servicing dealer. Find steel combi systems with attachments for blowing, trimming, edging, and more. Combi power heads start at just $199.99, and attachments from $59.99. Need a pressure washer? We have industrial strength and light-duty models for all projects. Shop local, shop steel, shop JD Outdoor and Power Equipment in John Day.
Please continue to protect yourself and others against COVID-19. Get vaccinated, wear a mask, wash your hands, maintain physical distancing, and stay home when you are sick. If you are still unsure about whether you should receive a COVID-19 vaccine, talk to your primary care provider or find facts on the CDC's website. This message was brought to you by Harney District Hospital. Harney District Hospital, enriching lives through better health.
Get the coffee. We'll get the news. Back to Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Good morning and welcome back, and thank you for tuning in to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. My guests today are Ron Whiting and Autumn Murr with the Wildfire Resilience Project. So when we just left for break, we were talking about the Stinking Water Project and how it's just a whole group of entities and people and stuff like that own the land, from the BLM to private owners and stuff like that. So with it being private owners, how do you get them involved with this?
That's the biggest challenge that we face. We have had other areas we've done projects in that we've had small number of landowners, ones that are motivated to doing something and cooperate. And I guess that to face a bigger challenge, that's part of the reason that we chose these Stinking Waters. And we do have a number of individuals out there that are permittees, they are private landowners, they have the same problems, and they are motivated to try to control the Medusa head and get something planted. I think that for the most part, the permittees and the livestock producers are the most likely to cooperate. And I don't want to put the other type of landowners down. It's just that it presents a challenge. The landowners that have a small acreage that is more for recreation, they say, well, we want it for the wildlife. And so they don't want to cut their junipers, but yet they don't seem to understand the challenge that preventing a wildfire from devastating that area presents. Now, as far as getting them involved, we have tried a number of avenues. One is cooperating with the Crane RFPA to send out newsletters, notifications, and another is the High Desert Partnership letter that they send out. And so far we've had kind of limited participation, but I think that as people see what we're doing out there, they see that, yes, we are doing positive things, that then they will tend to get on board.
And then you wanted to talk about your members and all of them involved.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to really explain that this is a really diverse group of stakeholders and partners, and that's kind of what makes it work. So it's not just one entity that is kind of saying, this is what we're going to do here. We are really being as collaborative and inclusive, and we're transparent. We have open and honest conversations. So we have, you know, the ranchers and the local landowners. We have employees from federal, state, and county agencies. We have tribal members. We have conservationist groups. We have other nonprofit groups. We have our scientists from the research station and OSU. We have our local RFPA members. So everyone has something that they bring to the table. And then when we, you know, combine all of our expertise, we really come up with some great ideas and products. And I think it's something that everyone can have a little bit of ownership in. And that's what makes it, you know, a little bit more successful. So, you know, a lot of times we will reach out to individual landowners if we are going to work and focus in a specific area, and just invite them along. And then, of course, we always have our website, our Facebook. You know, we're just sending out newsletters. And like Ron said, I think word of mouth. Once one landowner sees, you know, that their neighbor had some work done and it looks a lot better, then they might be interested to join us.
Another important group is Oregon Division of State Lands. They have a pretty large land holding out there also.
Yep, yep.
And then what about, like, cost and stuff like that? You know, for private, I mean, I get state, federal, county lands and stuff like that. But what about for, you know, Joe Smith who lives up the street?
Sure. So there's all kinds of grant opportunities out there. That's what a lot of NRCS, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, the Soil and Water Conservation District, the Cooperative Weed Management Area, ODFW has grant funding. A lot of even HDP can apply for an OWEB grant, which is the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. There are all kinds of technical assistance grants and restoration grants. And so basically we can get funding, and then, you know, we need to show sometimes a 25% match from the landowner, but that doesn't have to be cash. That can just be in kind. So say they go out and spray, so we buy the seed or the spray and they go out and perform that spray. That's their in kind.
Gotcha.
You know, so there's all kinds of ways to leverage funding and get help for folks to move this whole dial forward.
And one thing I might add about the NRCS is, the NRCS, Natural Resource Conservation Service, their method is a little bit different than the Soil and Water you sign up with them for a project, go through a ranking process, and see whether you're eligible for this. And I might add that this stinking water area is a focus area, so that adds some points to your ranking as far as possibly qualifying for this assistance.
The importance of it.
And then let's say you're going to do a juniper cutting project. The NRCS has a formula that's based on, I think it's state costs, and then they will pay for either 50 or 75% of this projected cost. But Harney County tends to get very competitive rates for people to do these types of things, so that in the end, the landowner pays maybe very little, if anything, to do it. Your biggest contribution is your time in signing up and overseeing things and all that. And I might add, hopefully, participation in this group too.
So say that somebody's listening right now who lives in that area, in the stinking water area, the, where the project area is, and they are not yet a member or, you know, where do they go to sign up, to talk to somebody? Because there's so many different branches underneath you guys.
And that's what's so great about having all of these collaboratives under one umbrella, being the High Desert Partnership. So they have an office, you know, right down the street here. They have a website, phone number. Look up High Desert Partnership. Talk to them about the issue or problem or concern that you have that you want to get involved with, and they will steer you to the appropriate coordinator for that area.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I guess a step that I might add that they'll send you to beyond that, they will send you in the right direction. But the NRCS office and the HSWCD office are on down the road a little bit further.
Yeah.
They're pretty much across the street from ODFW, right?
A little bit further.
Yes, a little bit further. Just this side of the truck stop up on the west side there. And Zola Ryan is the NRCS person that you need to talk to. Jason Kiesling is the HSWCD person.
Okay.
And they tend to complement each other. Like if for some reason you aren't going to get NRCS funding, then HSWCD will try to get you that funding.
So they're always trying to figure out and work with you somehow to try and help you out, so it's little to no expense out of your pocket.
Exactly. And you know, the other benefit to getting involved with groups like these is you get all the technical expertise. So you get prescriptions and when to, you know, when to do this and how much and why, and then the follow-up and the monitoring. And so you're really being assured that you are doing the thing properly and what is best for your land.
And your area.
Yeah.
And the landowner is going to get their input too, because they're going to say, well, this is what I would really like to do. Now, unfortunately, sometimes that's not going to qualify for funding, but lots of times it will. You can work together to come up with a solution. And landowner input is very important. We don't want to minimize that.
Perfect. We're going to take another quick break. Okay. You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
Hello, Harney County. Craig here with Ed Stop & Sons. The fuel market is competitive by nature, and competition is good. And with rising energy costs, everyone wants the best deal, and I want you to get the best deal too. In order to make that possible, how about this great deal? We'll match our competitors. Bring us a price, and we'll match or beat with a comparable product or service. Now remember, we have to compare apples to apples, but whether it's apples or oranges, or really, oils or lubes, we have what it takes to make your farm, ranch, business, or hobby work. Ed Stop & Sons, 573-2622. Energy, community, service.
Attention, Grant and Harney counties. Are you looking for a wood splitter? JD Rents and Outdoor Power Equipment and John Day now has them in stock. Find the Oregon 25-ton vertical horizontal with side tray priced now at just $1,699. Looking for a wood splitter but need more power? The 35-ton size with a Honda engine. Those are priced at $2,599. Call now if you're interested. 575-1156. That's 575-1156 or pop into JD Rents and Outdoor Power Equipment and John Day.
Thank you for choosing Harney District Hospital as your healthcare provider. In addition to top-notch services and technology, Harney District Hospital boasts highly trained, licensed medical professionals who are ready to care for you in a friendly, comfortable environment. At Harney District Hospital, you aren't just a number. You are a neighbor receiving quality care from your neighbors. Visit HarneyDH.com to learn more. Thank you for choosing Harney District Hospital as your healthcare provider.
Get the coffee. We'll get the news. Back to Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Good morning and welcome back, and thank you for tuning into Harney County Live. My guests today are Ron Whiting and Autumn Murr with the Wildfire Resilience Project. And we're talking about the project that you guys are working on, or everybody's working on, over in the Stinking Waters. Mm-hmm. So you guys said that this started like in 2018-ish? And so what has been done from then to current?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have been working on this for a little while now. This particular, it's a pilot project mm-hmm. area. And so the hope is that we would be able to identify some things that work, some things that don't work, and then, you know, replicate those across the rest of Harney County. So for this area, you know, we have some short-term and we have some long-term goals. You know, our short-term goals are definitely to decrease the invasive annual grasses, the junipers, and our wildfire response time.
Oh, okay.
And then increase our perennial bunch grasses and the firefighter access and safetiness of places to have, like, their anchor points
when
they're fighting a fire.
Never thought about the access.
Right. So... and then our long-term goals are to decrease the overall fuel loading, so that's that same thing, the invasives and the juniper, that continuity, so, you know, that what we talked about, the continuous carpet of fuel, and then decrease the fire size. So fire is a natural process, but not mega fires. Mega fires are these fires that are over 100,000 acres that used to never happen, now it happens every summer. And then our other kind of major long-term goal would be to increase the wildlife habitat, because there's a lot of really important, there's bighorn sheep, there's mule deer, there's pronghorn, there's elk, there's sage grouse. So it's very important area for wildlife. The livestock forage for all of the producers that make their living with their cattle out there. And then the resiliency and the fire return intervals. So we want to have more frequent, less severe, small fires instead of the whole thing going up in flames. Mm-hmm.
So those able to control it.
Right. So and to work on that, we kind of sat down, I guess it was a few months ago, and identified, okay, what have we done? What have we achieved? Because sometimes when you're in these collaborative processes, they feel like they're moving very slow, and it's very difficult to stay motivated and engaged. So we went through and identified all of the things that we've done in the Stinking Waters project area just over the last year, so 2020 to 2021. And there have been multiple efforts from different agencies. You know, the BLM has repaired reservoirs and improved roads, sprayed multiple pastures, cut hundreds of acres of juniper. The Soil Water Conservation District also has sprayed a ton of acres on private lands for the weeds. NRCS has done that. We've done, BLM has developed cross-fencing contracts. Private landowners have been very active with targeted winter grazing to get the Medusa head down before the green up. And that's a change in a business practice that hadn't really been done before. Burning juniper piles, ODFWs purchased Open Range G, which is a new type of an herbicide. It's not a spray, but it's pelletized. So we've been trying to kind of do all of that. There's been the BLM and the RFPA worked really closely together to contain a small fire, kept it at 100 acres instead of letting it, you know, get out of control. There's been improvements to the Stinking Waters Access Road. The Agricultural Research Station has collected monitoring data at 124 sites, so we have some baseline pre-data. The BLM has completed an environmental impact statement on fuel breaks. The HDP hosted an invasive annual workshop, which was super successful. And then just the Crane RFPA sending out these newsletters. And so anyway, that's what we have done in just 1 year. Wow. So it's a lot when you really sit down and put it all together.
That sounds like that should have been like 3 years.
Right, right. And so then, you know, we sat there and tried to figure out, okay, now what else do we want to do? And of course, it's kind of, you know, replication of a lot of that stuff, but we have actually sat down and identified. So in the Stinking Waters, we have broken it up into basically four subunits, you know, because you have to kind of try and compartmentalize this to get a handle on it. And so for each of those north, south, west, and the river or the east unit, we have identified areas that need to be treated, buffers to cut along fencing, more control lines, fuel breaks, plans for pasture seeding and treatments. I mean, it just kind of, it is a lot of the same stuff, but it all is important in marching forward to get the total response that we need from the landscape.
Holy moly.
It's a lot of work.
Oh my gosh. And so how much longer do you think this project is going to go on? I know it's kind of hard to say, okay, we're going to be done in 2.5 right. years. No, right. I mean, do you guys kind of have like a timeline?
Well, sure. We have our short-term goals and our long-term goals, but in reality, this will be something that is perpetual.
I mean, ongoing.
Nature is forever. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to solve it in 5 years, 10 years.
Right.
Our goal is to have something back in a decent shape in, let's say, 15 years. But the reality of it is it's going to be an ongoing process in order to be successful. And I might add that one of the things that probably hasn't had enough emphasis as far as what we have done this summer is there was a crew out there doing monitoring to analyze, okay, this area, what type of species does it have here? How does this relate to our goal of trying to prevent fires? How can we put areas together in some units that if there's a fire starts there, the firefighters can immediately pull up and say, okay, this is what this unit is. Our goal is, yes, let's put this out as quickly as possible, or no, the type of situation that we have right now is not conducive to mass spread of the fire, but we want to burn out some of the brush
yes.
or something.
And that makes total sense, almost like an accidental prescribed fire.
In essence, yes.
Yeah.
But the conditions have to be exactly
perfect.
Right, instead of, right. let's put this thing out.
Yeah.
Right. And just to go back to, like, the how long things will take, I mean, like Ron said, this is a forever project. You know, even if we can reduce the invasive annuals and control the juniper maintenance. It is maintenance, maintenance, maintenance. And so, you know, using best available science when new herbicides come available, when new techniques and technology, we will use adaptive management. And, you know, we're using the best tools that we can right now based on what we know. But maybe, you know, tomorrow someone thinks of something that works better and we will shift and accommodate.
And things are always changing, like the Medusa head. We didn't have that 30 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, there was a little bit of it out there, but it wasn't a threat. And now it's a huge concern. So, unfortunately, as new weeds present themselves, then we have to adapt to how we deal with that in the environment.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's another part of the collaborative, not only the Stinking Water Subcommittee, but the Harney County Wildfire Collaborative overall. Another piece of the puzzle of dealing with all of this is also education and outreach. I mean, if you don't know what Medusa Head looks like and you don't know that it needs to be treated, then, you know, we're behind the ball. Exactly. There. So I think, you know, it's about awareness, education, outreach, and action and maintenance over and over, you know. But I think the reason why this works is because we have engaged so many partners. We have so many people that have specific technical expertise and can all collaborate to come up with a plan and move forward. And that's what I love about being back with the Harney County Wildfire Collaborative, is that we have taken the time to build the relationships necessary to be able to have conversations where I can say something that maybe is kind of stupid and no one's going to attack me, yeah. Right? But it's a way to brainstorm, and it's mm-hmm. a way to, maybe the stupid thing that I said makes someone else think of something else.
Exactly.
So it's a really safe space to have these hard conversations. And you know, we just have to know that it takes a long time, but we're all in it together because we all live here, we all work here, we all love the wildlife that is here. We live here because of the natural beauty, mm-hmm. and people depend on this landscape for their livelihoods. So we have to work together to protect it, restore it, and maintain it.
Wow, wonderful. Well, we are completely out of time. Is there anything that you wanted to throw in? Lastly,
the only thing that I would add is that if anyone has any desire to participate, please do. Because in my role, I am not a landowner out there. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like, okay, I'm trying to do the best job I can of representing them. But the people that are actual landowners out there, they are the experts in it.
Mm-hmm. And we will continue, hopefully, over the long term to move to different areas. So, you know, if there's a spot, like if you're out in Raleigh or you're down in Fields or you're, you know, wherever you are in Harney County, come to us and maybe that becomes our next project area.
Oh, that would be fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. It's very intriguing.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
And thank you for tuning in to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. I'll chat with you all tomorrow.
That's another